When we come to this Sunday every year, I'm reminded of something that happened. About 30 years ago, I was in a church and we were having a men's breakfast on the Sunday morning of fall back week, of daylight saving time. And my friend Kurt had the right idea but the wrong scheme. He had the day right, but instead of falling back, he sprung forward. So our men's breakfast was like at 7:30, so if you would have fallen back, it would have been body time, like 8:30, but he moved his clock the wrong way and got there body time about 6:30. And as he pulled onto the parking lot, he said, "I didn't know if Jesus had come and I had been left behind, or if I had messed something up." What he found was that he was in darkness and he was alone. The challenge of our life as believers is that the Lord calls us to recognize him as the light and to walk in that light. That's the challenge that Paul has for believers, to walk in light. So as we're going through our series on Walk His Way, he challenges us with that very thing today. Look, don't be in the darkness and be isolated. As we move toward darkness, that's often what happens. We get isolated from others because we're hiding in darkness. There's something that we're trying to cover in our life. No, as believers, we are to walk in light and to walk that walk together. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll pick up in verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to God." The Lord. With that, let's ask God to speak to us today. God, would you speak and would you give us ears to hear? And would you transform our lives? God, would you remove areas of darkness that we may have hidden in our heart? God, would you illuminate areas of disobedience or fear? God, would you penetrate into the deepest part of who we are. And then, God, would you reignite us, refuel us, so that we can be light in the world that is in desperate darkness and desperately in need of a Savior. In your name we pray. Amen. In the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul writes to the believers and really lays out the blessings of knowing Christ. That's really what Ephesians chapter 1, chapters 1 through 3 is all about. The coming of salvation and the blessings that are received with that salvation. Beginning in chapter 4 then, he has this challenge for us to live out what we've just heard. We've been saved, we've received Christ in our life. Now here's the challenge to walk it and live it out. So in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, he tells us to walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called, that we're to walk worthy of the salvation that we have received. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17, he tells us that we're to not walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, he tells us that we're to be imitators of God as dear children and that we are to walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And then here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8, he challenges us to walk in light. Light is an important theme throughout Scripture. As you look throughout Scripture, you're going to find that light is attached to some marvelous pictures and themes. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God is light. In Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I fear?" In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5, it says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. The Word of God is light. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is light. God's word is light. Jesus is light. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse number 6, it says that Jesus was going to be a light to the Gentiles or a light to the nations. Then we look over in John chapter 1 and we find that, behold, God calls a witness. His name is John the Baptist. And he has come in around 6 or 7 of John chapter 1. He has come to bear witness of that light, the light of Jesus. Then in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we find that God is called light, the scripture's called light, that Jesus is called light, but we as believers are called to be light. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 14, Jesus looks at his followers and says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So that we as believers are to be bearers of the very light of Christ in our life. Then Peter makes reference to light in referring to our salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse number 9, Peter says that you are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a people belonging to God. A peculiar people is the King James, but it's a people belonging to God. And then he says this, that you might show forth the praises or declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into light. The calling into light is the calling of salvation. So God is light, the scripture's light, Jesus is light, we as believers are light, and the gift of salvation is the gift of receiving light that draws us out of the darkness of sin and causes us to come into light. Light is something that is to penetrate and illuminate. And so we find in the darkness, and darkness often pictured the darkness of sin, that we as believers are called to make a difference, and that the light of Jesus, the light of the Father, the light of Scripture, the light of salvation is to shine through our life. But we remember Ephesus, first century. In first century Ephesus, the people were very idolatrous and immoral. We look back and find that one of the seven ancient wonders of the world was the temple to Diana, where there was all kinds of worship that was surrounded by idolatry and immorality. And so now he's calling believers that have been rescued out of the depravity of the world and says, look, you were once darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. And so as we think about that, there's three thoughts that I want us to throw together. First off, we see the contrast of light and darkness laid out right in verse number 8. Notice, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. There's the contrast to observe. We observe this. He says you once were or were once. This is past life. He says you were darkness. Now, it's interesting how he says this. You were once darkness. He doesn't say that you were in darkness, that you lived in darkness, that you were surrounded by darkness, that you had darkness all around you in Ephesus. He looks right at these believers and says, no, it's more than just something that you walked around in. It was something that you participated in, and you were darkness. You were. Now, again, it is past tense as we look at this verb. You were darkness, but there is this truth that says man in and of himself is utterly sinful. Now, as we try to share light on Scripture today, you can find that in many other places in the world, and those that even call themselves a house of worship, they will tell you to be you and to be the best you can be, and I'm okay and you're okay. But the truth of Scripture is that if you don't know Jesus, you're darkness. If you know Jesus, you were once darkness. It is a picture of the depravity or the sinfulness of men. Jeremiah 17:9 puts it this way, that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? We don't even know the depth of darkness in our own heart. When we look at Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah says, all your righteousnesses, all your righteous acts, all your righteous deeds, he says that they are like filthy rags. They are nothing but a bunch of trashy old towels that need to be thrown away. This is the picture of where man is without Christ. It is not that he is just surrounded by a sinful world, but that he himself is darkened by sin within his own life. You were once darkness. But then the story changes. There is this wonderful contrast that we observe. You were once darkness, but now you are, present tense, ongoing truth, you are light. You were darkness, now you are light. What a transformation. What an amazing change. And yet Paul has shown us contrast throughout his book. If you're in Ephesians chapter 5, turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which we were loved. Now notice what it says. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are we saved. The picture here is that the contrast in our life, we were over here dead, and now through Christ we have been made alive. Notice another contrast down just a few verses from that one. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So he says over here, you were dead, now you're alive. You once were far off, now you have been brought near. The picture is, I don't know about you, but I was a kid of Sesame Street. And as I read this, I kept thinking of these images in my life of when I was a kid, and they would have Grover doing near and far, all right? Where he'd run way back here and say, far, and then he'd run way up close and say, near. The picture in our life is when we were far off from God and the things of God and the truth of God and the word of God and the salvation of God, we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now we look at one other contrast. Notice down in verse number 19 of chapter 2. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So they were once strangers and foreigners. Now they're citizens, saints, and they're in the family. That's the picture of the contrast that the gospel brings into our life. We were dead. Now we're alive. We were far off. Now we're brought near. We were strangers and foreigners. Now we've been made fellow citizens, saints, and members of his very own house. You once were darkness, chapter 5, and now you are light. There is this amazing transforming contrast that comes to take place in our life when we come to know Jesus. And hallelujah, what a great change it is. It is not something that we can muster on our own. It's not something that we can figure out on our own. It's not an outward changing of our mind and thoughts. It's not trying to reform myself. It is looking to Christ in trust and allowing him to transform me from the inside out. This is the contrast. You were once darkness. You were dead. You were far off. You were a stranger. Now you are light. You're alive. You're brought near. You're a member of the family, a saint. That's the picture of how Christ moves in our life. So understand that as we are called to walk in light, it is because of the huge eternal transformation that the Lord has brought into our life. It is His transformation that causes us to experience light, and then it is His transformation that causes us to exhibit that light. Because there's not only the contrast of verse number 8, you were once darkness, but now you are light, but there is the command that follows that. So now you are to walk as children of light. So look back at verse number 8. Again, we see the command that follows that. There's this command that He lays out, and we are to obey it. You were once darkness, now you are light. Walk as children of light. The command to obey. Now, because you have been rescued, you've been made alive from death. You have been brought near after being far off. You've been changed. After coming into God's family, after experiencing the light, you were once darkness, now you are light. Now here's the command, walk as children of light. Light's important. We need light in our life. This week I had a CT scan, and when you have a CT scan, the first thing they do is you walk into this room, and it's very well lit, and he says, okay, I got to stick one of your fingers, make sure your kidneys are all right. So, man, take your choice. I mean, you know, pick one. So he picks one, and then they put an IV in you, and they run some saline through you, and then they run some dye through you, and they put you in the CT machine, and it goes up and down, or back and forth, all this kind of stuff. And as I was sitting in that room, I thought, I'm glad this room has light in it, because he probably could have done the finger prick and found a finger to hit, but I don't want somebody sticking an IV in me in the dark. My only request is when I have an IV is, will you hit it the first time? I don't know about how you feel about that, but please hit it the first time. The time when I had my surgery last year, they shot me three times before they got it, and it's like, oh my goodness, come on, somebody find a vein. But could you imagine trying to do that in the dark? Could you imagine the doctor coming and just kind of feeling, okay, well, I think we're at your elbow here, so we're close. And he just starts sticking? No, we need light. And as we look at the world around us, the world needs light. And so we, who were once darkness, we've been there, are called to walk in that light. Walk. It is a command, not a choice. It is a calling. It is a duty, and it is a responsibility for us as believers. But often, we make wrong choices. And so, when we have men's breakfast and you move your clock up an hour instead of falling back an hour and you show up in the darkness, we as believers make decisions and we recognize I'm in and leaning toward and moving toward further darkness, not toward light. I shouldn't be watching this knowing that the light of God, the light of Jesus, the light of Scripture is in my life. I shouldn't be thinking this. I need to take that thought into captivity and not meditate on that, because the light of God, the light of Jesus, the light of Scripture, and He's called me as light to think on that. Walk as children of light. It's a command, and it's an ongoing command. And then He gives us the characteristics of what walking in light is going to look like in our life. Notice what He says in verse number 10, or verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit, better translation would be the fruit of light at that point, is all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The word goodness here, as we think of the characteristics of the light, the word goodness is a picture of moral excellence or generosity or kindness. Now listen, this is going to be involved with our relationship with others. That we're going to be a good, morally excellent, generous, kind, good kind of person. Goodness. Then he uses the word righteousness. Righteousness is going to deal with our right relationship with God. Notice in verse number 10, he talks about what is acceptable in the Lord's sight. Righteousness is walking in right standing with God because I'm walking in salvation, but it is also walking in a way in which we are pleasing to Him, or the things are acceptable, as verse number 10 tells us, the things that are acceptable by the Lord. That's my relationship with God. Then he says that we are to walk in truth. And the word truth there is a picture of the word integrity or honesty. It really gives the picture of walking in a right relationship with myself. So that as I am living and walking in light, I am showing goodness to those that are around me. I'm a kind person. I'm bearing the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace. I'm patient with other people. I'm looking for opportunities as light to be a light to a waitress, to a checker. I'm looking for opportunities to be light to a first responder. I'm looking for opportunities to shine that light and to show the goodness of the Lord around me. Matthew 5:16, Jesus tells us that we are to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. That's the kind of life we ought to live, a good life. But we ought to live a righteous life in right relationship with God, only pursuing the things that are acceptable to Him. We understand that sometimes in order to be accepted by others, you have to go against the things of God. But we're not worried about the acceptance of others. We're worried about His. We're not worried about pleasing everyone else. We're worried about pleasing Him. So that when I walk a righteous way, we're going to understand that we're going to be moving against the flow of darkness. We're going to be moving against the current of darkness, but we're in step with God's will for our life. We're walking in a way that is acceptable to Him. Goodness, righteousness, and then truth is that I live with that sense of integrity in my life. My relationship to others, my relationship to God, my relationship to myself. That involves that sense of walking in light. That's the characteristics. We need light. In our dark world, it desperately needs light. In our world where people can't even have a conversation and disagree over things in a civil way, we need to be reminded that we don't have to agree with everything on that someone else says, but there's no excuse to be ugly. There's no excuse to be impatient and unkind. So he says the fruit of this light is going to be goodness and righteousness and truth. And this, verse number 10, is what is going to be acceptable to the Lord. But as we walk in goodness, righteousness, and truth as the characteristics of light, we also understand that John 3:19 says that some rejected Christ because they loved darkness because their deeds were evil. So that light is going to bring conviction. So we find the conviction that light brings in verse 11 and 12. Notice with me verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them or rebuke them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. There's a picture here. There is a picture that as light moves in, it's going to expose and penetrate, infiltrate darkness, and it's going to make some people uncomfortable. That as you walk in light, there are going to be people who cut their conversations and it gets awful quiet when you walk up. That when you walk up and on a group of folks, that the atmosphere is going to change. Listen, light always, as it illuminates and infiltrates, is always going to bring change. And some people don't like that change. They love their darkness. Because they love their darkness, they don't want the conviction of the light. John 3:19, write it. This is the verdict, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness. The light came. And listen, the light was shown. The light of Jesus was shown. But men loved darkness. They're over here. Darkness. Where you were in darkness. And they love it. And because they love it, they want to continue in their evil deeds. And they want society in psychology, in sociology, to tell them that they're okay. But when the light of Christ and the light of God and God's Word begins to infiltrate, it begins to bring a sense of conviction. It begins a sense of discomfort. When someone moves out of darkness into light, sometimes they lose their friends because of the conviction that light brings. When people move from darkness into light, sometimes they lose their families because that's the conviction that light brings. This is a serious transformation that takes place. In December, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out. And got my tickets. So anyway, we're ready. Okay, me and the boys. In the movie Return of the Jedi, which was, I think, number 3 of the first 3 that came out, I have such poignant memories of seeing Star Wars. With 6 kids in 9 years, and my youngest brother wasn't born yet, we never really went to the movies as a family. And one of the movies that my parents allowed us to go see, that we all went together as a family, loaded into the station wagon, was Star Wars. And it was just unbelievable. It brings back poignant, poignant memories. But in the movie Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker is going to see the Emperor. He's been captured willingly. And he goes to Darth Vader, and he begins to try to plead with him. By the way, it's his father, okay? I hope I didn't ruin that for anybody. So he begins to plead with him to come into the light. And Vader says this, "You do not know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master." There are many under the influence of the one who is on the dark side. And Luke basically says, well, I'm not going to change. You will be forced to kill me. What we find as we try to live as light in a dark world is that it's going to cause discomfort for others. But let me tell you and challenge you with this thought in verse number 12, because sometimes as believers, we begin to talk about things and talk about people. And he says, look, you shouldn't even talk about the things which are done in secret. What things are he talking about? Look up to verse number 3 of chapter 5. He's talking about fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. He's talking about all of that kind of stuff. He says, believers, you shouldn't even talk about that kind of stuff. You shouldn't dwell on it. That should not be in your vocabulary, and it shouldn't be in your mind, and it shouldn't be in your heart. You're light. You've been transformed. So there is this awesome contrast. Light, our darkness and light. There is this command to walk as a child of light and to bear goodness, righteousness, and truth and to bring conviction to the darkness. But this section of Scripture ends in a very interesting way to me. Notice in verse number 13. All things are exposed and are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Interesting, because as we've talked about light, there is this third thought, and it is the call to receive Christ. He's set the contrast between darkness and light, and this command is laid out to obey Christ. But then in verse number 14, it seems that things just take a different kind of a turn. Some believe that this was a hymn that was sung by the early church. But notice verse 14, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What is he talking about? Awake you who sleep. Could it be that there were those in the church of Ephesus, maybe like those in the First Baptist Church of St. Charles today, that they come to church, that they are surrounded by light. They can hear light as it's sung and played. They can hear light as it's taught from God's word. But he's saying, wake up! You've never received that light in your life. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Here's the picture. That there are those who are in church, but may absolutely be asleep to the things of God and to the things of light. They think that they are now a Christian by association. That because I go to church and you go to church and my life is as good as your life, then I'm just like one of you and I'm going to go to heaven too. And Paul says, no, wake up. Wake up, you who sleep. Wake up those of you who are sitting in a church pew thinking, man, I'm as good as the person next to me. I'm a pretty good person. And he says, no. Awake, arise. You've got to receive the light personally. When I was in college, I did some preaching around. And one of the things that I like to do and had the opportunity to do was I preached at a church down in southeast Missouri. My brother-in-law was the student pastor. We have someone here from Jackson that I met earlier. My brother-in-law was a student pastor in Delta, Missouri. And my first times preaching actually were to that youth group on a kind of a vacation Bible school. I preached to 10 or 12 kids that week and did a youth Bible school. But I went on one of their mission trips with their student ministry. And I was just a few years older. I was probably freshman, sophomore in college. And we went and we were doing a camp ministry, which we went and we set up camp and set up tents in one of these large campgrounds. And then during the daytime, we would go through the campers and invite kids to come to like a backyard Bible club kind of vacation Bible school thing that we were putting on. Well, one night after the day was done, the afternoon, evening, we do some street evangelism, those kinds of things. I'm doing the nighttime devotion in my tent. And so I share the devotion and one kid dozes off a little bit during the devotion. It's been a long day, and I probably spoke too long. But he kind of dozed off a little bit, and so the next day, I just kept razzing him. Man, you fell asleep during devotion. What's the matter with you, man? Fell asleep. So the next night, we do our devotion, and everybody pretty much stays awake, and we close. And so me and another guy just stay up, and we're talking, sitting in the tent, and we're just talking together. And the kid who I've been teasing about falling asleep in the tent all day kind of rolls over and you're kind of dazy kind of moment. Like I said, they've been asleep for an hour, hour and a half. And so I hit the guy I'm talking to and I said, and Tony, would you close us in prayer? Listen, that kid sat up in his sleeping bag and he prayed and closed it in Jesus' name and laid back down. It was an hour, hour and a half after devotions were done. And he did it, laid back down, and didn't remember any of it the next morning. One of the most hilarious things ever. I've not forgotten. I don't think I ever will forget it. But there may be some thought that we need to put to that. Are we spiritually dead and spiritually asleep, but we can sit up and pray a prayer, sing a song, but really being spiritually asleep and spiritually dead? Maybe not even remember it. The challenge is Paul is drawing out that net. Look, if you've been transformed from darkness and have stepped into light, then walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. Bear that goodness and righteousness and truth and bring conviction to those that are around you. But some of you, you've truly never received the light of the world in your life. And you're going through the religious things and doing the religious stuff, but you're asleep and you're dead. And so he says, wake up. Arise, turn to the Lord in repentance. And then you'll have his and experience his light. Several years ago, I had a man in his mid to late 50s who, when we were challenging our church to write out their testimony, walked forward one Sunday and he said this. As growing up in church, he said, all of my life, I've had Christ around me, in church, in my family, but I've never let him in my life. And there are some maybe today that are dealing with that. And the issue of pride keeps us from saying, no, man, I've never really made that decision and taken that step of faith in my life. But today I need to. And there's a call to you today. And the call is to receive Christ. As believers today, our call is to walk in that light and to share that light around us. And believe me, there's plenty of darkness around that you can illuminate. Let your light shine. But if you don't know Jesus and the light's not there, today he's calling you. Awake, arise from the dead, and let Christ give you his light.